This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You got shin pads?
I look a little bit down on you.
When's Defoe Fest?
He's destroying all records.
It started kicking off at Watford.
Well, they're not footballers, they're goalkeepers, yeah.
How were the Christmas parties?
Who was the most generous lover?
I'm in my first game, played against that Seattle. Smashed someone.
Norwich, you wait until you get a call from Delia.
Wow, I've never seen anything like this before.
How is your golf game, by the way?
Once he gets hold of you.
Hello and welcome to the Peter Crouch podcast with me, Jermaine Defoe, Peter Crouch, Chris Stark, and Statman Dave.
So it begins.
Statman.
Here we go.
Go on.
I like stats, like numbers, like
serious?
Maps. Yeah, like football.
You're geek, yeah?
That's the one, man.
Fucking no.
The brains of the operation.
Stats are a massive part of the game now, Jermaine. Have you noticed this?
You're involved in stats.
Stats now is just like, it's massive.
Jermaine, 15 goals in the 90th minute or later in the Premier League, the most in history, four more than any other player.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I knew that one.
Oh, you didn't know?
I knew that one because I was going to tell Eddie Howe that one when he kept taking me off after 70 minutes. So I knew that one.
But some people have coined you online as the Acca Rooner. The destroyer of accumulators.
Oh, really?
Because coming off the bench late, or you know, you're playing to the end and you're scoring goals, and people's Accas that have got a draw turns to a defeat.
Okay. Because obviously I started young at West Ham, and I always fancy myself sort of like come on and sort of like try and nick one. Where just later on in games, I always thought, you know what, someone will switch off on that and I'll get a chance to score. Do you know what I mean? So my numbers from when I was young were sort of like up there, and obviously Solskjaer, yep. Giroud, all these kind of names. Sort of like came about after and that.
See, I always thought you were obsessed with stats because like when you went on loan to Bournemouth for that young age and like it was 8-8, wasn't it, or something? You scored, is that right?
Yeah, was it 10 consecutive games?
10 consecutive games, right? And that, I think when you do something like that, all of a sudden you go like, and it's a record, these things stick with you and you just want to break more, and not, obviously you didn't stop from then.
But you see, it was funny, Crash, because when I went on loan to Bournemouth, all I knew was East London. Harry pulled me in his dark car. You're going to, I want to send you on to Bournemouth. It's like, Bournemouth? Gaffer, where's that? Sort of thing. Where's Bournemouth? Never heard of Bournemouth before. Like, so I got on the phone to my mum. I said, Mum, I might be going alone to Bournemouth again. She's like, Bournemouth? Why? Got on the phone to Harry, blah, blah, blah. That'd be good for him to go there anyway. I was meant to go there for a month. So I think it was Mel Machen at the time at Bournemouth. Said to Harry, obviously, I want a big centre half because there's big flesh up front. We need someone big. At the time, it was League One. Harry goes, yeah, we've got this young kid, Defoe, blah, blah, blah. 5 foot, I don't know, one. And they're like, nah, it's too small. Trust me. Just, I'll send him down there, you'll see. Mate, so got there, first training session, looked at me, oh, it's a bit small. After the first session, he phoned Harry, could we have him for the rest of the season, right?
Really?
Yeah. So I stayed for the rest of the season. But when I started scoring, it's not until like the eighth game, people started talking about records. And you know what, like when you're a kid and that, you just want to play, you want to score goals. So I scored a lot of goals in youth team at West Ham. When I started talking about records, I thought, it just added pressure, do you know what I mean? And then it started getting, and then I remember that in the 10th game against Cambridge, I had a chance in the first half and I missed. And I was like, oh, it's gone. The chance is gone. It's going to be nice. And then I managed to get a chance again and scored and that.
So that Acca Rooner in action, even against Cambridge. Mm. He loves the stats. Oh, Statman Jay.
Go on.
But I think it's quite interesting that it's like, some ways stats shouldn't be told, right? You're saying that you put pressure on yourself. So if it was like maybe a modern club, they may know that might be the case for some players that they shouldn't be saying, you're about to beat a record here.
Yeah.
I think it was John...
Aldridge.
You're in the stats game.
You can't get me in it.
You're like brothers.
Yeah, exactly. Cousins, isn't it?
I think it was interesting what Jermaine was just saying there about the preconceptions of him as a player when going to Bournemouth around size. And that's obviously the same thing that you've experienced
on the
other end of things. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the other thing. It was like, oh, he's big, he can't play. You know, so that was my thing. And I just had to prove myself constantly that I could play with my feet. You know, I wasn't just a big donkey you could lump it to. And that was I had to constantly prove that.
You see like a profile of a player and you think, oh, he can't play. But I said, remember we used to do like boxes? We used to do tricks. And you look at me and think, how are you doing these sort of things with your feet when you're this big? Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, for instance, Haaland, yeah? Haaland moves like he's 5'10". Like he moves like he's 5'10". So dynamic, and he changes direction. And you think, how can you move like that? You're that size.
Oh, it's good to have you on the pod, Jermaine. This is going to be fun. We are, I should point out, this isn't the normal pub where we record this in. This is the away pub, as we call it. You always get loads of away fans here on the way to Wembley. And what you might notice throughout this podcast is car horns. I don't know if you boys saw this. Just as we were arriving, they just started protesting outside. It's not against the podcast. Right. They're protesting about something out there, but you probably will hear a lot of car horns throughout this because I don't think anyone here can go out and tell them to shut the fuck up.
I've noticed a lot of people super glue themselves to floors and things like that. Like what? Is there anything you're into that you would super glue yourself to a floor for?
Well, it's an interesting one, this, because it started kicking off at Watford not too long ago around the ownership at Watford because results weren't going away and a lot of people weren't happy. And
glue involved?
They were talking about what form of protest we're going to take. And there was one idea about everyone just leaving on a certain minute. Another one was dropping, I think it was like dropping leaflets en masse. In the crowd, it's interesting. Some people turn their backs at the football, don't they? But they don't go for the glue.
Imagine if like a whole stand super glued themselves to their seats.
Yeah, but you wouldn't.
Game.
But it's an odd protest, that, isn't it? Because if you're protesting at the ownership of the football
until
club,
the end of the game.
Yeah, but that's then they've been
they really attentive. They haven't gone out at half time. They've stayed out
celebrating goals.
Yeah, it's taken 7 series to get Jermaine Defoe on this podcast. We've been trying for a while. I think you know that. So it's wicked to get you on.
Nice one.
Would you both acknowledge yourselves that you are one of football's most iconic duos?
100% numbers don't lie. What do you want me to say? The numbers are there. Couchy, people talk about obviously York and Cole, obviously Kane and Sonny, Shearer, Sutton. I think if you look at the numbers and stuff, that's what everyone talks about, Statman. Then surely we must be up there.
But thing is, we were under 18 level with England. We scored goals together. Under 21 level, we scored goals together. Full England, we scored goals. So at Portsmouth and Tottenham as well. So we had a good, you know, and it was the traditional thing. I think you don't see it as much anymore. Nah. You know, like Quinn and Phillips,
yeah.
You know, like big man, little man kind of combination.
In that combination of a sort of a big player and a shorter player that's a bit nippier, how do you play each other roles? So Jermaine, how do you play with a partner like Crouchy?
I can't remember me and Crouchy ever sitting down and be like, right, I'm going to do this or you're going to do that. I think it's just like, just an understanding. And what helps, obviously, when you play together for a long time, and like you said, when you play together from like, I don't know, England youth and you go to the 21s and actually play for England at senior level and then at club level, like 2 or 3 different clubs, then I think just naturally, me watching his game, him watching him, like there's times where the ball will go long and I think he's not going to head this. He's just going to bring it down and do his stuff and then, or times I'll just gamble. I remember we played against Man United at home. I scored after about 40 seconds. Yeah. And then what happened was the ball went long and then Crouchy, and I sort of like went to go to the near post and I just stood still and Rio covered the near post. And Crouchy, a lot of maybe forwards would have sort of like just gone off my first movement, but he headed it down to me and I just overhead kick scored. Like, so it's just understanding.
Yeah, and I think like good players sort of understand like where it's going to be. Like for that instance, the ball would always come into me and then I would always just try and get a shot for Jay, do you know what I mean? Or myself, if I could. But you know, like, and obviously, if I'm fighting, you know, he's got the presence of mind. So if I'm fighting, you know, and the ball's in the air, that I'm not going to be able to bring it, I'm going to be flicked. So he needs to get in behind. You know, it's like this, it's very simple, but effective. And there's so many players that don't understand.
Just, I think just some things, it just happens naturally.
Do you know one of my favourite, obviously, Jay's a lover of goals, right? And obviously, you know, absolutely loves it. And this is in his DNA, okay? But I remember, obviously, there was one where Nugent took it off him, right, for England, which I was talking about the one where Portsmouth, he's gone Everton away, remember? he's gone round side and he's dinked the keeper and it's hit the bar. And it was my first goal. So I've nodded it in on the line after it's bounced on the line. Last one that's in the record books.
You can watch it after.
I don't know if it was over.
Be honest with yourself.
I don't know.
I remember doing an interview after the game and they spoke about it. Because obviously everyone knows I love scoring goals. And I said, no, it's Crouchy.
Do you believe it was Crouchy's?
It's Crouchy's. Because you know what it was? Even though like I'd done the keeper, it was like a beautiful chip and stuff goal. Like that. And then when obviously Crouchy headed it in, I thought, nice, Crouchy, man. Like, no problem. Anyone else?
Yeah.
When you say anyone else, that. Do you feel you've treated Crouchy different to other strike partners? How quickly do you write off a strike partner?
No, you don't write them off, because anyone you play with, not just a centre forward, to be any sort of player, I spoke to Owen Hargreaves about this yesterday, you need ego. Because you're in a change rooms with a squad of 25 players and your friends, but you're competing if there's five forwards. So you have to be single-minded and you need that little bit of arrogance. Ronaldo's had his whole career, but you need that to be at the top level. You need that. And I just feel like if you speak to any centre forward, if you get dropped and someone that's playing ahead of you scores three goals, the person that's on the bench, are you going to be happy? Why would you be happy? But with Crouchy, I always wanted Crouchy to score. And a lot of times, I've been in a situation before when I've been with forwards and that, and then say like you score, but I feel, you can just tell, I used to get that feeling where, oh, you're not that happy for me. But I always knew, if I scored, even when I scored the five goals against Wigan, I knew Crouchy was buzzing for me. And you don't always get that. Andy Cole and Dwight York, you could see, and it weren't false, you can just see that, doesn't matter who scored, they were just buzzing for each other. And then that's where you get a proper partnership.
So why was that, do you reckon? What was different about you two that meant you were happy for each other?
Well, what Jay touched on there, I think is so important. Like that, the mentality of anyone in that kind of elite environment, like Premier League player, England player, you have to have a degree of arrogance. Like you have to have so much belief in yourself to be in there amongst all these players. It's harsh kind of environment where people want to take your place, believe they're better. I think what he's saying is that, you know, I liked it when other people scored. And like, you know, if you're a complete bellend, I I'll be honest with you, like Pav, you could see Pavlyuchenko, right? You could see in his eyes, he didn't want me to play. And you know, like, he didn't want, you know, he was ruthless. He was like, I could literally, I passed it and he wouldn't like even say hello because he was that angry that I was playing ahead of him, you know? And like,
you get that,
I could see it.
But in a way, it's like, you don't like it, but you understand it sort of thing.
Yeah,
like,
I get it. We're all like that, aren't we? We're all like that.
So you want to play and you need that. That bit of arrogance.
Yeah, because I think strikers is the most, my perception of it from the outside, is the most arrogant of all the positions on a football pitch.
Of course.
Yeah.
Was it a bond that was just on the pitch, or was part the special magic of this formed outside as well?
Let's be honest about it. Every now and then Jermaine would put me wide when he could put me in. So yeah. I'd have to cross it back to him. Let's be honest about it. Still, you know, so I love him to pieces, but he's a goal scoring machine. You know,
Crouchy, I saw him, mate, like bad ball and that. Like.
And I said, Jay, when you scored the five at Wigan, I said it was a couple. I thought he could have squared, and I said, Jay, fifth one, right? And I said, you got four. I said, Jay, come on, I'm near him. Like, wait, come on.
When I scored the fifth, watch Crouchy. When you actually sit, it's funny, man.
I'm like, Jay, so I'm going over to him. I go, Jay, you've got four. Like, come on, like, and he's, you know.
Sharon and Andy Cole got five. I need to get five.
If there'd been a penalty, you would have taken that. You wouldn't have donated a sixth.
Crouchy won it, I'll give it to him. Yeah. If I scored five, I know he scored six, do I?
That was really interesting. We were around Crouchy's house and he has these balls there. And you know, as a fan, you can occasionally get a signed ball from a football club and it's nice, got player signatures. They can't be asked. You've just written like Jay. There's no effort, mate.
There's not a lot
to even write your name.
I've been there. It's not even your name, it's JD.
Yeah.
But with Crouchy's balls, do you have the same as him? Have you got a setup at your place? And you've got some of these items?
Yeah, so you've got a lot of my ones at my mum's, but you get like, every now and again, it's nice to read them because when you score a hat trick and that and you're buzzing and all that, sign it and that, you get in the shower, you got the match ball and that, sometimes you don't read, and then it's not until like sort of like you finish, and sometimes I read them and that, it's on a message. It's nice. Yeah, it's good.
How many hat tricks, Jay?
I think my mum's got about 11 balls.
Were you prolific as a kid?
Even when I played for like my school team, like broke all the records. And then when I went to West Ham and I was under 17s, I was playing under 19s. Like my first year, that's when I thought, okay, I'm playing a year up. I'm playing with the boys that won the FA Youth Cup the year before. I remember scoring 2, 3, 4 goals every game. And Harry Renner, the home games at Chadwell Heath, he would watch all the games before the 3 o'clock kickoff of the first team. So he'd watch all the games. And I always knew that he was on the side watching. So I used to just think, I need to score like 2s and 3s every game. Just had that hunger from day one, really. But even more so...
I didn't know that about Harry. I didn't know that he was going to those games before the 3 p.m. he was at.
He used to watch the game.
I remember playing 11 o'clock. I remember playing at Chadwell Heath and Harry would be watching.
That's incredible. Yeah. I think that's the side of him you don't really hear.
Yeah, he just loves his football. And like, he just wants to take in a game and watch the youth team. Yeah, so I'd always see him down there whenever I played as the away team.
you would say you have to score, I have to score twos or threes in every one of those games. You just made it happen, regardless.
Yeah, because I don't know, I was just so obsessed with football. Like, when you're obsessed with something, that's all you do, that's all you think about. I used to go home, I'd watch Ian Wright's DVD, I'd watch the DVD, watch his finishing, watch the movement. I'd go train the next day, I'd just do all the stuff I've seen.
When I look at your game, I see so much of Ian Wright. Like, how much of an influence was he?
He was massive, because I was lucky, obviously. When I signed for West Ham, he was still there. It's the back end of his career, he's not going to be there long. So I was going to try and take as much from him as possible. Obviously, as well as, like, obviously, Lamps was there, Rio, all that lot. But, like, De Canio was there, was brilliant with the young players. But Wright, it was just, like, spoke about finishing, movement. He was sort of, like, holding me during training, so I'd time my movement in a box. So loads of stuff that, like, I took from Wright is at, when I was 16
years old. Specifically, when you say, what would he do? Hold you back in the... Like, what specifically do you remember?
So we do, like crossing, we'd do crossing and finishing. He always just say to me, he said, you're getting into the box too early. You're getting into the box and sometimes the ball's coming behind you or, like... So it's all about timing. So I used to sort of like just hold on to my training kit, especially back then when training kits are so baggy.
And you'd be wanting to move.
Right. So he'd be holding on to my training kit, then he'll push me across the near post. And I think when you do all these things as young kids, it stays with you.
It's mad. Like for me, hearing the idea of Ian Wright holding the back of your vest, like, and you're wanting to move and it feels unnatural. That, and then you release.
It's so weird, like, because that was the exact same. I think it's so common in young forwards that you want to get into the box early, but if you delay it, you've got more chance of scoring. If you've gone past the near post, there's absolutely zero chance. If you look at it percentage-wise, if you're arriving in the middle of the goal sort of as the ball's delivered, obviously, 50, 60, 70%, it just increases your percentages of scoring. It's like, you've got no chance if you're past the near post by the time the ball comes in. And it's just over-eagerness, isn't it? I remember coaches and managers holding me back. To get your timing right.
Especially in the box.
Did you lads feel that in the game then? Because you done it in... Did you feel that someone was talking your back in your mind?
You just think, during the game, if the ball goes wide, you think, okay, I need to be patient. Don't get in there too early. And sometimes you might even get in too late. Like, do you know what I mean? So it's just... You keep doing it. You practice it in training and stuff like that. And then, more games you play, the more comfortable you are. And then you look at Haaland. You see him, like, in a box. His timing's perfect. Everything's just so relaxed. He's, he just delays his movement and he just goes bang, wherever he goes, near post or far post, and it comes and he just finishes. Like, but it's all about timing, I think.
Do you think with him as well, it's about his change of speed?
Oh, yeah. That's natural to have that sort of like change of speed and have that sort of intelligence as well, where to be in a box and on top of all that, just be so calm in front of goal. Frightening.
Do you think he gets away with more just from his physicality? Do you think he gets away with stuff that would otherwise, with other strikers, be a foul?
No, I just think he's just...
When he threw his Brighton defender on the Webster on the floor the other day,
he's got to be stronger.
It was a tap in, it was a joke, wasn't it?
Webster's a big lad as well.
Mate, he was throwing people on the floor.
It was just like... I don't think he gets away with anything, to be honest. I just feel like he's that good.
Mm. Yeah, my issue with Haaland, Jay, is I feel like he's... The way he's going about his goal scoring and stuff is making sort of certainly me look a bit shit. He's destroying all records, like...
Those records you guys hold so dear.
He's getting... Say, like, if he's getting three good chances a game, he's taking all three. You always fancy him to score.
100%. I think that one of the mad things is he's on, like, one expected goal a game, which is, like, he's getting served an incredible amount of high chances good areas.
He's going to score 60 goals then.
But it was when the last time I worked it out, it was 63.
But that's, he's having a good first season. We said this on the last
good pod. First season.
We don't know what Wayne Lineker's going to do with him in the summer break. And, that could break him.
No chance.
Yeah, but, it's hard once he gets hold of you.
Once you get sucked in, that's it.
The Pep Lineker combo as managers are, we've said this on the pod. Wayne Lineker looks after the summer management of the City team. And then you got Pep for the season, And between them, they do a fantastic job.
But I'll say one thing about Jay. I don't think I've ever seen you really... don't drink much, do you?
Nah. When I was playing, never. And obviously, I've been around the lads and the boys are drinking and stuff like that. But it got to the point where we used to go out, someone tried to give me a drink, the lads would be like, Jay, you don't drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is normal. Yeah, like it was totally fine. It was just
The last bit like that. No,
Jay, he's not trying to know.
I think that's interesting because I think with footballers, obviously the natural conversation is how are the Christmas parties? How are the
What
I'm saying is a lot of those stories centre around being pissed.
If you're going out with the lads. If we won on a weekend, you've won. Mm. We'll celebrate together. Anything we've done was together. We had a good group, to be fair. And I think it's. Do you know what? it's probably different now because, see, like with social media and stuff like that, I think it's harder for players. So, I mean, it's harder now. Of course, you have to go out, and especially when you're young, no one's saying that you can't go out and enjoy yourself and stuff like that. I think you have to be careful. But it was good that how, like, if we'd go out as a team, whether that's go for a meal or we'd always be together, and I think that's important.
What was your reasoning behind that, Jay? Just like because you wanted to be the best you could be as a player?
Yeah, just the best I could be. Like, because I didn't do it when I was younger. I didn't feel like I was missing anything because I didn't do it anyway. So I was just like, I'd go out with the boys, no problem, have a good time and that, and then just drive home and stuff like that. But I didn't really.
Were you designated a driver then?
Always.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah,
you've seen all sorts, haven't you?
Oh, man. Next. next question. Hey, I'm married now.
Some real technical stuff in this podcast so far. I've got to sort of bring you out of that a little bit just to discuss what's your thoughts on Crouch Fest? Bit of an odd one, right? Wembley Arena.
Do Wembley
this
Arena.
Podcast. Thousands of people, a festival all about Peter Crouch. When's Defoe Fest?
No, you know what? I'm just happy to go to Crouch's one.
You know it's going to be good.
I'm just happy to go. I'll be there. Don't worry about that.
What we thought we'd do is settle the Messi-Ronaldo debate there because there'll be thousands of people. It seems like the right place. We can do it in the run-up to it, but also there we can have a load of people and sort of get a final decision of sorts. Part of this, Crouch has been getting his phone book out and firing off messages to all sorts of people. We heard your message as well.
Okay.
Well, I've just banged it out to like five randoms, I'll be honest, on the way to this pod now. And Sean Dyche.
Great. Great now, start.
I've got this theory, Jay, that I think that you can tell a Ronaldo or a Messi just by looking by the character.
Do you reckon?
I think you can.
Well, let's do that then. Sean Dyche, what do you reckon?
Ronaldo. Hard work, in the gym, first one in, last one to leave.
Yeah. Jay, this is exactly what I'm saying.
Do you know what I mean?
You can tell.
A Pep Guardiola, if you're tiki-taka Messi.
What's Dave? You know what? What's Dave? Messi or Ronaldo?
Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Incorrect. I'm Messi.
Oh. You're not, bro.
He's in denial, isn't he? Exactly.
All right.
As I said,
to be honest, I used to be Ronaldo. I changed, yeah. So I'm a United fan. So Ronaldo, obviously, at the start of his career at Manchester United, absolutely fantastic. And then from that point, Messi beat United twice.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
And I was bitter for a long time.
Jermaine's like a psychic. You know, even when you say something, it's like, that's...
No, but I think you are lying.
So,
Sean Dyche.
Okay, well, let's all guess Sean Dyche. So, Dave, what are you going for?
Yeah, definitely Ronaldo.
He's going to say Ronaldo. Jermaine's going to say Ronaldo. I think he's going to go Ronaldo. I agree.
Big Crouch dog, for me, it's got to be Ronaldo, just because he's done it so many places, so many different challenges, so many different styles, fits into an all, just gets the job done, proper legend.
Just gets the job done.
Just get it done, no messing about.
Gets it done, no mess about.
Bit like his voice note, no goodbye or anything.
No, just there he is, Crouchy, bang, this is why, bang. Anthony Joshua, Messi or Ronaldo?
He's a Messi.
Oh, you reckon I was going to go Ronaldo? You reckon Messi?
I reckon Messi.
Yeah,
I'm going to go Messi as well, actually.
It should be Ronaldo, you think, would it? But I'm going to say Messi.
What's
happening,
Crouchy? Hope you're well. I'm going with Ronaldo.
Huh?
Doesn't need to explain.
does it?
I mean, an explanation would have been nice. Wouldn't it?
Why does it need to? You going to ask him to?
Was that definitely him? What did you go back with? Cheers.
Said, yeah, love it. Yeah. Next week. That's great. Don't elaborate.
Do you know what I love about this? Jermaine's slightly disappointed in himself for getting that wrong.
I feel if you say Ronaldo, you don't know football very well.
Yeah, sure.
That's absolutely extraordinary thing to say, by the way. That is insulting to a lot of people.
Ronaldo is incredible. I think he's incredible. But I look a little bit down on you if you say Ronaldo.
Because you don't know football so well.
No, from a purist term... Unfortunately, I do have a little bit of disdain for you. A tiny, 1%.
You see, if you speak to any other Ballon d'Or winner, most of them will say Messi.
Is that because they feel they can't say Ronaldo, though?
They can say Ronaldo. Why can't they say Ronaldo?
Because, as Crouchy says, you get accused of not knowing football.
No, I didn't say that. What I said was, I personally, my particular opinion is, 1% of me thinks less of you.
Ever so slightly,
just a tiny bit. I don't think he knows football enough very well.
Okay,
who do you think then?
Ronaldo. I did say Ronaldo.
Messi.
He wears shin pads in five a side, Joe.
You wear shin pads. I don't know, man.
I can't relate to that for a while.
I'm from Canning Town. So put your socks on, put your boots on, let's play.
You'd never wear shin pads.
For what?
What do you mean for what? Protect the shins.
Protect the shins. So, okay, Power League with your mates, you got shinies on?
I do.
Strapping.
I've got my initials on my boots and everything. CSO3.
Oh mate.
You've got to go in confident. I think you see, maybe this is the Messi Ronaldo debate.
Maybe I didn't wear shin pads training in 20 years.
If you wear shin pads, it shows you mean business. I'm gonna fuck you up.
Never. Why? What? Go on. You're not going away.
I think I don't know. It's tough. As you're saying, it's like it's a gut thing.
So tough.
What I boil it down to in my head is one-on-one. Who would win? That's how I settle it.
Valid point.
Yeah.
Well, you're not stopping Messi. Messi will go past anyone 1-on-1 10 times.
Yeah, but Ronaldo would do it as well, I think.
3, 4, 5, 6 people. I think a lot of Ronaldo's goals were like, he changed his game. He just became an animal in a box. I know he used to be at wide step overs going past people and that, but I feel like when you watch a lot of Messi's goals, Messi's doing things, you're like, you shouldn't be able to.
Ronaldo's going to knock it past him and sprint past.
Yeah, that's
it's going to be
do,
a bit
yeah.
of you. It's going to be speed. It's going to be...
power. Explosive.
Yeah. It's going to be explosive. Nothing he can do. Yeah. Be as skillful as you like, but you won't see him.
Should we get Abby's take on it?
I think this settles it. This is a big name.
Ronaldo or Messi. Obviously, I'm not a football fan, but I do like to watch Ronaldo. I think he's the best player in the world.
Cash is like, why, babe?
Just because he's got loads of pizzazz. He can do all the skills. I don't really like watching Messi because I think he's got zero pizzazz. I don't know. He just doesn't look the part to me.
He might be quick, but that's about it.
He doesn't look the part.
That is brilliant.
Nailed it.
To be fair, she has stumbled upon something there.
I understand that. Ronaldo,
Messi looked like Ronaldo. Imagine they both had the same game but looked like each other.
No,
that
Ronaldo
blows your mind, doesn't it?
Wow, that is mind blowing.
Yeah, Ronaldo looks like a machine, doesn't he?
Yeah. Talking of like being a machine and stuff, like you were always across. Like the latest thing, like cryotherapy, like
ice baths.
Like, yeah, you still involved? You still, what are you doing now?
Coaching at the academy, but I still train most days. Yeah. I'll just join in. Because I feel like, you see, if you're coaching, sometimes when you just demonstrate, it's better for the boys.
Still got it?
Mate, still training. Really? Still hitting the side netting.
Yeah, have you still got it? But is that the problem? If you join in as a coach and then fuck it up, that's a horrible place
to be. But remember, I only retired last season.
Yeah, you still got it.
So in a sense, I think while you're still... youngish.
But didn't you do soccer? Did you do soccer aid?
Yeah, because I thought
I was cheating.
I had to do it. Never had a choice.
Yeah, because you were... Big Sam, you were just extraordinary.
Big Sam was at Sunderland. He phoned me. I was in St. Lucia. I said, you need to get back here. I said, Gaffer, I'm on holiday. I ain't coming back and playing soccer aid. And plus, I'm still playing. He said, if you don't come back and play, see that new contract you're meant to be getting? You're not getting it, right?
Big Sam.
Me, see that new contract you're getting and that, all them goals you scored and that, you're not getting it, get back in now and play for me. I was like, oh, okay, gaffer, and that, it's mad.
Yeah,
did you bang a few in?
Banged in two.
Pissed, wasn't it?
Jet lagged and that, but
I think the worst, you know, we did 2v2s in training, right? I always remember, I can't remember who my partner was, but we got paired up against Aaron Lennon and Jermaine Defoe, right? I had small-sided games like that.
Shift, bang.
I don't think there's anyone better. I think I've seen anyone better. Is there anything you want to achieve now, Jay? Like, you know, now you're retired and do you want to manage?
Do you know what? I'd love to. Do you know what? It's only like, you know, when you're playing, you don't really think about managing. Mm. You're so focused on playing the next game. I've got ages. I don't need to think about. And then since I've been into the academy at Tottenham and you're doing your badges and you're sort of like, you're learning every day and you're seeing players that you've played with become managers. And you think, you know what? I fancy that. So at the minute, obviously, I'm completing my badges. And I think for me as well, because I've played for so long, so it's almost like I've seen both sides the way it was in that. Compared to like now, how the game's changed completely. Like you've got goalkeepers that, a lot of times your goalkeeper has more touch than number 9.
Crouchy has a very disparaging view on goalkeepers, really.
I think they, you know, we need them. You know what I mean? We all need
you
them.
Don't treat, you don't respect them as footballers.
Well, they're not footballers, they're goalkeepers, yeah.
The reason I say this is I got a WhatsApp from Aaron Ramsdale, right, who listened to the podcast where you were going in on goalkeepers last.
What did I say about goalkeepers?
Well, should I play you the message from Rambo and then you decide how you're going to respond to this? And maybe Jermaine can sort of help you a bit. Here we go.
Starkey,
Just catching up on the podcast, listening to the coach's squad part two when you talk about goalkeepers. He still winds me up. But the other thing is, how can we become managers when the goalkeepers need a goalie coach? So goalkeepers will just go into being goalie coaches. But I reckon I'd do a better job than Crouchy as a manager.
He's obviously listening to the podcast on the way into training and has been that sort of rattled by it. He's then gone and messaged me to then pass it on to you.
Yeah, yeah. But like the evidence is there. Obviously, Dave can back me up stats-wise. The goalkeepers, there's not many out there who are managers.
The stat was there was, out of the Premier League manager, and we're looking into it, 2.7% of the managers in Premier League history were goalkeepers, 7 out of 259.
There you go.
Think that will change with how goalkeepers have changed?
Maybe, because now goalkeepers are almost like the spare player. They have to play out front and back, have to be available, have to play under pressure. Whereas years ago, goalkeepers, well, you never see a goalkeeper.
No, I
can't remember Shaka Hislop joining in an 8v8 or 6v6 or... You just wouldn't see it. But now goalkeepers have to be good with their feet. You have to play. You have to be the spare player. We have to use goalkeepers as much as possible to get out.
Mm. But in your experience of a striker now, getting into the coaching and seeing all that side, is it weird treating goalkeepers in that way? Or does that, being honest, like, does it feel a bit unnatural to be?
Yeah, when I watch it, even not just like when I watch games now, it's weird to see it. Because normally, it's weird to see it because before, it's like goal kicks and stuff, and you're just like, you just launch it to the halfway line, second balls and that, and then we play. Not saying teams don't used to play back then, but now, obviously, goalkeepers, like, pass to the centre, goalkeeper get it, find a spare play, all that. It's amazing. And the top ones are unbelievable with their feet.
What was your favourite time, Jay, as a player? Like, is there one season that sticks out, you think, I was on fire, I was untouchable that season?
I think the 2010 one.
Yeah?
Yeah. But obviously, when I got the 5 goals against Wigan, see, before the World Cup, and I think, because I knew it was something like the World Cup year and stuff like that, and you had to be on it, just from pre-season, really. I was just like, I had a good pre-season, and then I think that's the 2009-10 season, that was, proper on it.
That was your most prolific season as a duo as well. He scored 23 goals when playing together.
What did Jay get? 21.
Jay was on 17, Crouch, you were on 7.
I like that combination stat. That's a good combination stat.
Yeah, me and Crouchy, it was together, wasn't it? 23 goals together.
Exactly. Good stat, that one, Dave.
Let's get up.
But which kind of moves on to a section that we've previously had called Generous Lover. Should we go through that now, Chris?
What are we going for, Dave? What do you want to know? So what stats have you got?
We're
going
to test the lads on Generous Lovers in terms of strike partners working together, assisting each other.
When you say Generous Lover, what exactly do you mean? Like,
as in one player assists the other a little bit more.
Right.
So that the first one, out of the two of you, you can work together here. Who was the most generous lover?
Crouchy.
I'd say me, yeah.
Can confirm Crouchy were the most generous. 4 assists to Jermaine and Jermaine 2. This is just Premier League from the times you were at Spurs and Portsmouth. We've got a bit of a quiz on the podcast for probably the first time. Probably the last time as well. But it brings out one player that we mentioned previously.
Go on.
So first for Crouchy, was Jermaine more generous than Raphael van der Vaart?
What? Like too Crouchy?
Too Crouchy.
Well, like longevity, me and Jay, that was more, you know what I mean? But maybe Rafa.
It was exactly the same.
Was it really?
Yeah, exactly the same. Jermaine, let's move on to you and Raphael van der Vaart.
Okay.
More generous or less than Crouchy to you?
Less.
Absolutely bang on. 2 assists, that was it.
Yeah,
what was the impact of Raphael van der Vaart on the squad?
I loved him.
Yeah, he was class.
Whew.
He was brilliant for Spurs.
He could only play 60 minutes, didn't you remember?
Yeah.
But you know, from like the first session, you're like, oh.
Yeah, straight away.
You can see why I played for Real Madrid. Even like the times when I played with him, say like you made runs, he won't pass the ball to you, you pass it where you need to run. Thinking this guy is just like, it was always like, it's like he was just 2 steps ahead in his head. He's passing, the way he received the ball, his first touch, the way he protected the ball, because he weren't really big. I loved him. I thought he was top.
He was a top player. But like when we sit with Harry and he just used to buzz off watching like Luca
and Rafa,
like when they were on the same team together, it was beautiful to watch.
Sit back and enjoy. Right, shall we get back to the quiz? Roman Pavlyuchenko.
Oh my God.
Pav. Was he more generous to both of you than each other?
Nah, he wasn't generous to anyone.
Nah, probably just smash
touch
it.
Touch and bang with both
hard
feet.
Hard, like,
be fair.
Smashing it
in a rocket on both feet, didn't he?
It was unbelievable.
To be honest, you can't, like, you know, I'll give him a bit of stick for not passing and being a bit aggressive towards me because I was playing ahead of him. But he could strike a football.
I always felt like if he hit the targets, it's a goal.
Oh.
He used to hit it so hard. You know, like, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, just like,
bang, just like
nothing was placed.
Yeah, nothing. Nah.
No, absolutely correct. Yeah, like yeah. Pavlyuchenko, one assist to each of you.
He was
yeah,
fun as well, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, last one for you, Jermaine. Would you say that Adebayor was more generous than Crouchy as a lover?
Nah, Addy weren't generous to me.
No, correct. Crouchy was twice as generous as Manuel Adebayor. And finally for you, Crouchy.
How was that? I felt like, I mean, that, from the outside, it was like I lost my girlfriend, you know what I mean? And like, yeah, yeah. I saw him coming in, like, I was told to leave, really, from Spurs, you know? Like, they got a good bid from Stoke and I had to get off. And then
Addy.
All of a sudden, I'm seeing, you know, Adebayor flirting with Jay and Rafa.
Oh,
what have I done, you know? Like, how did you find him?
Addy was, he was obviously a top player in that, but he was, do you know what? It was good in change rooms. Funny guy.
Oh, he's funny as well. Fucking, that was funny. That was my fucking role.
Jermaine, what'd you say? He was funnier or funny?
Nah, Addy was funny,
who was the funniest, though?
Nah, Crouchy was funny.
Thanks, Chef.
Crouchy and Woody.
Thank you.
Crouchy, Jonathan Woodgate, Bentley. Nah, but Addy was good.
Yeah.
Good player. He done well.
For you, Crouchy, who is more generous, Jermaine or Jonathan Walters?
I'd say it has to be John Walters.
Yeah, correct. Jonathan Walters was your most generous lover when you played together as Strat partner. Yeah. 8 assists.
Really?
Yeah. Jermaine, do you know who was your most generous lover when you were playing in the Premier League as a Strat partner only?
Was it not Crouchy, no?
Dimitar Berbatov.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you like playing with him?
He was good.
Great player, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But how good was he? Because from the outside play with him. Yeah, like.
Yeah, oh, mate. Just like.
Bergkamp-esque kind of.
Do you know what? He was just clever. You spoke about Rafa, similar. Just clever. Mm. Really clever. Like, unselfish, to be fair to him. I mean, just naturally gifted. Like, his first touch and just like so calm and silky, the way he moves and stuff. Like, he was proper.
Who's the best you played with other than me, Jay?
Right, Di Canio.
Really, Di Canio.
Naturally, he was probably like a number 10. He used to do this chop where he would go to shoot and then chop, then he'll go wide and face people up. Like, and you know what he's going to do? But he just couldn't stop him. I don't know if you heard Joe Cole speak about him. Like, we loved him as like young players and stuff. We just watch him every day and he just learned so much.
For you, like young players coming through that West Ham team, people like Ruddock and Wright.
Oh, mate.
And Di Canio, Lomas. Like the characters in that team.
In a way, it's good because you grow up so fast. It's almost like you're scared to give the ball away. So just having that sort of like, oh, if I give the ball away, I'm going to get hammered. Right? But Trevor Sinclair, like Razor, right? Was there. Paolo was good with the young players.
Who's the worst, though? Who was harsh with you?
Trev was on you. But then after training, he'd be the first one to hug you and sort of like give you anything you need. Like, but even like John Moncur, Steve Lomas. Oh, Lomi was fiery. You're just scared to give the ball away. So like, even that's helping your development because when you get, you know, you have to keep it. Everything you did has to be. And I think growing up in that sort of environment, like training with the first team every day at the age of 16, is like, it was proper.
Mm-hmm. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Lads, should we get stuck into a few messages?
We got a message here from Dean. Hi, Dean. Says, I know Crouchy claims to be good mates with Glenn Johnson, but I don't think it's true. I used to commute via Euston and would often cross paths with Glenn on the escalators as he was heading up into the main station. I would then pass Crouchy, who was always a couple of seconds behind Glenn, heading for the same train, but would never see them together. Glenn clearly wanted to keep some distance.
Uh-oh. I thought you were mates.
Well, I'd like to think so as well. Yeah. These are trying to drive a wedge between
England,
us.
Portsmouth,
yeah.
Stoke.
What do you want me to do? Stand next to him on the escalator? you can literally, on the escalator, you can only go one
Maybe
at a time.
Maybe he's trying to make it not too obvious. You know, it's like you stand together, Glenn Johnson, Peter Crouch, too obvious then. Jono, if you just walk in front of me... You put your hood on, I'm Crouchy, well, I can't hide. But I'll just walk out the back of that, and then we get on there, and then you sit over there, I'll sit over there, and then we get off, and then we go training together.
Yeah. I mean, that's wild if you're on the escalator going the other way, and you're like, Glenn Johnson, Peter Crouch.
That's a bit of a strange one, yeah. Okay, I've got another message here. This one's from Adam. He said, could Peter please apologise for me? I'm a PE teacher and everyone takes it in turns to wash the spare kit, but I never do my day. This led to a fallout with the rest of the department. I was hoping you'd apologise for me as I have no intention of ever washing the kit, but they're all very angry at me. I feel that Peter making this apology from Mr. Oates to my colleagues might help smooth things over in the short term. Things have been frosty around the department.
Well, we're doing this as a service on the podcast at the moment. If you need someone to apologise for you, Peter's very, very good at it. So, Peter, I guess straight down the camera that we've got in front of us here, and if you can just apologise, you've got the story there.
I don't know where I stand on this because Mr. Oates' refusal to wash any kit, like, it's a part of a team, isn't he? Like, I think he does have to wash it.
Yeah, so, okay, so you're now not offering your
I'm going to retract.
Okay, fine.
My apology.
Yeah, you should wash the kit.
Mr. Doer, Mr. Campbell, Miss Oshland, and Mr. Wood, I make you right. Mr. Oakes, get washing.
Yeah, hear it first.
Got a message from Andy here, Crouchy. Did you ever consider playing in the MLS?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Obviously, we've got a man next to us that did it.
I enjoyed it over there. Yeah. Like the facilities, the people. I mean, the city was amazing. In terms of like lifestyle and stuff, it was just like spot on.
I got contacted by Washington and they said, we want you. We're going for Wayne Rooney, but we might not get him if we don't. You're
they didn't say that.
I swear to you. They literally told me.
That's what they said.
They literally said Wayne Rooney's our first choice.
That's so unnecessarily honest, isn't
it? Well, I was totally fine with it.
Managers don't do that, do they? It was like, we're trying for Jermaine, but we'll have you if he doesn't come through.
Yeah, we'll let you know.
What did they tell you? Were you first choice?
Oh, your first choice, you coming or what?
Yeah.
Ryan Nelson.
We had Drake calling him.
What, to make them move
I
happen?
I actually thought it was one of the lads winding me up.
Stop it.
I thought it was Aaron Lennon.
So you get a phone call from Drake, yeah?
Yeah, and I thought I was out, private number. I don't know, I picked it up, hello. It's Jermaine, yeah. It's Drake. Yeah, good one. It's Drake, yeah, good one. I thought it was Aaron, I thought it was one of the boys winding me up. So I was like, yeah, right. No, seriously, it's Drake. And obviously, I heard the Canadian accent and all that sort of stuff. And then it was like, oh, yeah, you got to come over. Like, what's happening? Have you signed a contract yet? You're going to love it over here. Amazing city. I'll take you out. No, it's a great club. Going to write, all that sort of stuff. I was like, wow.
So did that really seal the deal? Like you thought you were umming and ahhing about it, and then obviously you get a call from Drake and you think, oh, that's amazing.
Nah, to be fair, the deal was sort of like more or less done. It was just like a massive support. Obviously, I knew that he had some sort of link at the club. I knew that he was involved. But then when you get a phone, I thought, oh, maybe go over there and that and they introduce me to him. I thought you see my basketball game or whatever, but you don't expect Drake to phone your phone. But yeah, when he seemed cool on the phone, and then when he called me, I was like, no chance. It ain't Drake phoning me.
That needs to happen more in football. With Watford, you wait until Elton calls you.
You wait until Elton calls you?
Yeah. Norwich, you wait until you get a call from Delia.
Mate, players, I've
Jake Humphrey.
I've had that few times.
Or Jake Humphrey.
Yeah.
But don't say yes until that happens. Otherwise, you're not rated.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
You got to just wait.
Yeah, no. So you, because obviously a lot of people go out to the MLS and that's it.
Because
I just thought when you went out there and you signed, what was it, like
a four-year contract?
No one signs a 4-year deal, do they? And you were quite in your prime still. Not in your prime, 30, but
31 and a
half. Yeah, you're not, you weren't, you're yeah. still firing.
I don't know. When I went, do you know what? I just missed the Premier League. Even then, I thought, you know what? Probably won't go back on that. But then what happened was Harry phoned me. Harry phoned me and said, oh, Jay, do you want to obviously come to QPR? And I was like, obviously tempting, be back in the Premier League, another opportunity. That didn't happen. And then Gus Poyet. I remember I was in the south of France and I just had an operation on my groin. And I remember Gus Poyet messaging me basically saying, listen, need you at Sunderland. And obviously I played with Gus at Tottenham and all that sort of stuff. And then that deal was done quick.
You know when you say you missed the Premier League, I'm not suggesting you took it for granted, but was it one of those that going away sort of made you realise how special it is.
How special, yeah. Just that importance of just getting 3 points in a week and that pressure that you have to win, whether that's top of the league or trying to finish in the top four or just having that pressure and every game was so important. I'm not saying in the MLS the games weren't important, but it was just a different level.
The chants are a bit annoying aren't they? Like, did you notice that?
I remember my first game, played against like Seattle, smashed someone. All the fans in the stand, like all yellow cards in the stand, all that sort of stuff. And I'm thinking, do you know what I mean? This is different. Cards in the stand. Everyone jumped up like this.
What about England? How was that playing with each other compared to club football?
England was special, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like when we were up front, like, and think about what a journey we've been on. Like, I remember watching him, we play against each other at West Ham and Tottenham, and then we play under 21s together. And then all of a sudden, like, you're on the pitch, and obviously Wembley was getting built. at the time. So we played at Old Trafford. And yeah. I mean, him up front together. Like, I've known him for, you know, 15 years.
Mad.
And then all of a sudden we're up front for England. And it's like, that was, it's such, just a special thing. Like, and then we had a good record together. We always scored goals. I think certainly under McLaren, we had a, you know, enough about us to think maybe start. And then, but you've got Wayne Rooney and Michael Owen who are.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was your take on all that then in terms of selection at that point?
For me, Crouch is probably the same. I just thought, you need to stay in and around the England squad.
Yeah.
Keep getting in the squad. Because once you're amongst those, whether that's me, Crouchy, Rooney, Owen, Heskey, let's say, if there's five forwards, if you do get an opportunity, you've got to take it because you might not play the next game or might not play the next 10 games.
You're always going to come on, though. You know, like, I always think,
but you
like,
always come on anyway.
Like, Rooney and Owen are going to start, right? They were the best two, front two
but
we had.
On.
But, like, you always need to be around yeah. it. You're always going to get your chances, especially with their injuries. Like, I look at, like, even Tony now, right?
Yeah.
I haven't told you, like, he's got a chance to break in there. He's got Harry Kane in front of him. If you're going to play one, it's only ever going to be him.
Yeah,
he just needs to be the best of the rest.
He just needs to be amongst those names. Like, so if you get on a plane, anything can happen. Especially at tournaments. So if I'm Ivan Tony or Callum Wilson, or Ollie Watkins, I'm not thinking, oh, do you know what? I'm going to work, I'm not going to play. Because at a tournament, anything can happen. Like, we speak about, like, in the heat, you come on in the semi-final, you get one chance, you score. Yeah, any level, yeah. You've seen it in Champions League level, like Solskjaer, what's it called? Sharing them coming to Champions League final, like big moments in games where sometimes it's probably better off coming, it's probably better actually not starting those games, actually coming and making an impact.
You know, but like that mentality, you have to get through that and get through that because the end goal is when that one chance happens in the quarter final of the World Cup or the, you know, you don't know, it might happen. You know, you might get that opportunity to all of a sudden be on the pitch and score that goal that takes your nation through.
But do you speak to the manager? Did you ever have those conversations?
When you go away with England, it's really difficult to sort of like have like a one-on-one conversation with a manager, even if you're away for like 10 days. I can't remember having many conversations. I remember having a conversation with Roy Hodgson and that, but I can't remember having any sort of like deep conversation with any sort of manager. It's just, you just get on with it. There's loads of England games that come on and scored. And all of a sudden, you're happy. You can't wait till the next trip and that, because come on, you made an impact and that, and the manager's thinking, okay, because we're going to need this in a tournament, actually.
But if you don't have those conversations with an England manager, do you ever get frustrated that they're not making properly informed decisions?
I don't think you need to say anything, because what you do is you go back to your club, score goals consistently at your club, and other people start talking.
Yeah, I think that's the long way around,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's like other people start talking.
Nothing worse, I don't think, than a player going, I should be playing for England. Like, that, like,
it's the worst.
Sharp, like... No, you got to get on with your job.
Callum Wilson looks sharp again.
Everyone's
saying Callum Wilson, like, you know what I mean, squad the other...
It will happen.
Callum, he's going to be asked the question. No one's going to see that. If you ask someone, of course, I want to go and play in the World Cup, because it's special for everyone. But at the same time, you're not going to start posting something and be like, nah, because everyone's going to be talking anyway. So close to a tournament, everyone's going to be like, okay, who are we going to say? Especially forwards.
Do you think that's why James Maddison hasn't really said anything?
He doesn't need to.
His form is kicking on.
They're trying to bait him though, aren't they?
No, but
every interview he does,
I think he should go. I think if you look at his numbers compared to a lot of the other players in his position, if it's based on that, then I think he should go. Talk about that little bit of swagger and arrogance, he's got that. And I don't think, he's one of those players, yeah, it'd be like a World Cup final, he would have received the ball in any area on the pitch. He's one of those players.
Let's also look at Wales and Bale and his impact on that team. What's your experiences of him? And we've talked about him a few times.
We both played that breakthrough season of his. A little bit of lack of confidence. And then lack of confidence. Watched him.
Weren't really going to play. Benoit Scotty went to African Nations, didn't he? Gareth's there. Gareth, play him. And then he started getting the ball, kicking it past people and just running.
It's like a party trick, wasn't it?
Just literally just knocking it past people and running. And you're like, wow, I've never seen anything like this before. To do that to top centre-halves where everyone's fitting... quick hit, like, do you know what I mean? Everyone's athletes, but you're doing that. You're doing this to Premier League defenders and in the Champions League where you're just knocking it past people and you're just running past them. It's unbelievable.
Did he always have that pace and that power, or was that something that season
he always had it, didn't he? Because remember at Southampton, I remember around about the time there was a lot of noise about him, like scoring free kicks in a champ. And then, but I think when he obviously a big move to Tottenham, a young boy, and then obviously like confidence weren't playing, all he needed was that chance. Someone just give him a run of games. Get him up to speed and stuff like that, and then mate, it was just unbelievable.
It looks like he's just totally focused on Wales, essentially. Yeah.
For the last,
obviously, how is your golf game, by the way?
Do you play? I haven't played for a while.
Do you
play golf now?
Maybe England, a couple of times I've played.
And then lads would just get pissed off. And like Michael, I remember I played with JJ and Michael, and then I was just like messing about.
But I get the impression you've got to be fucking good at golf to play like with decent players. Like
the more you play, you've got to play all the time. Golf, you have to keep playing. Remember Coley, Joey Cole got lessons. I remember his head used to go. That's what I have. Because if you're getting lessons, you're telling people.
Yeah.
You have to be on it. So if you start shanking balls.
Yeah.
The lads like that. And you can see, because the lads know he's getting lessons and he's getting frustrated and stuff like that. And I'm like, Coley, what? I'm not getting lessons. And I'm just like, mate, it was funny in that. But then with me, I'd hit a couple good balls. I'm like, oh, I can play. And then shank a couple and that's it. My head's gone now.
Yeah, it's a tough sport. When you're good at something as well, you think, I'll be good at that. Then you're not. It's so frustrating.
And it's hard to, competitive. So
right, well, it's been 7 series and we've been trying to get the man, Jermaine Defoe, on the pod, and he's didn't disappoint. Absolute legend as a player and still, a legend now. Jay, I really appreciate it.
No problem, my man.
Top man, really appreciate it.
Well, stat man. Yes, bro.
Nice one.
The stat man, Wait, if I get a job, mate, you're coming with me.
Yeah, you're laughing. You're going to need him.
Hey, stat man. Yeah, you're part of the analyst team.
Dave, there you go, mate. Got a job out of it.
Sort, isn't it?
Time to check in now with Chris on his Peloton journey. They're helping him become the best version of himself thanks to their world-class instructors. I believe they've been providing that extra layer of motivation to get you moving, Chris. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I feel very lucky. They are world-class, I would say, actually, the instructors. Sometimes if you're having a bit of a shitty day, I've got to say, you do go on there, and even though they're talking to a class full of people, you're sort of engaged with it. You do believe they're talking to you directly. They have been very good on the sort of motivation front. Should give a shout out to Ben and Leanne. What I'm finding is because you get to see these people quite a lot, you then start following them on Instagram and such. And then it's interesting seeing their lives, and what they're up to.
Yeah, depending on which mood you're in, say, would you pick a different instructor? Like John Hoskin, for instance, how's John getting on?
Everything about him makes me feel inadequate as a man.
Ah.
Because he's everything I would like to be. He's a good-looking lad. He's clearly, he's smashing the fitness thing. And what gets me is when you're doing walking on the treadmill sometimes, and he'll be doing it effortlessly, and I'll be there doing this sort of power walk.
Crouchy, it's funny that you mentioned John Hoskins. We've actually got a bit of a voice note from him.
Hi, fellas. John Hoskin here, Peloton tread instructor. Chris, the word on the grapevine is that you are loving your Peloton journey so far, and particularly my Maroon 5 Walk Plus run. Who knew? Crouchy, I've heard you've had a few things to say about my walks as well, but listen, don't knock them till you tried them, big man. We cut a few shapes in those walks as well. It's about having as much fun as possible whilst making progress at the same time. Your walks might soon turn into runs, and before you know it, you're running marathons or you're just crushing it at your five-a-side. So watch this space, Chris. If walking isn't for you, you can find all forms of exercise on the Peloton platform: cycling, strength, boxing. I like a bit of meditation before I go to bed. But we're all behind you, Chris, and we're super proud of your progress, mate. And why don't you try one of my 30-minute pop runs? If you don't enjoy it, I promise to buy you all dinner at the Samrat. Take care, boys. See you soon.
Is that a promise?
It sounds like a promise.
He is funny, but lovely to get a voice note from John there.
And one of the best walkers in the business.
Yeah, he is right. He's called you out on that one. You have taken a piss out of the walking classes, but they're not as easy as you think.
Apparently not for everyone.
Crouchy, wouldn't you excel in walking because of your stride length though?
Yeah, you would.
I'm not a bad
you breeze
walker.
Breeze through it.
I'm a decent walker, yeah.
Just thinking back to some of those great players you've played with, who had a good walk on them?
Cantona had a good walk, didn't it? Strut.
I imagine some of your fellow players, it's like, I reckon Bale's got a bit of pace. Defoe, great striker, terrible walker, I imagine.
Yeah, there's not often the quickest would have the quickest walk. That doesn't mean they've got the quickest walk. Anyway, something to ponder.
Love today's episode, lads. An absolute banger.
Well then, Crouchy, another week closer to Crouch Fest.
It's going to be big.
It's going to be big.
just head to our website, thatpetercrouchpodcast.com. Just head over there to get all the information on tickets, sales, and all that good stuff.
And of course, we're going to be back stronger next week.
Chumbawamba.
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 Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This episode is brought to you by aloadofpricks.net. We are the experts in selling houses. Chris couldn't sell his house. What did you do, Chris?
I couldn't sell my house for love nor money, Crouchy. Three different offers I had, all at the last minute, fell through. I turned around to my wife and said, "What can we do to sell this house? Every estate agent is failing us." Then I told her, "Let's go to aloadofpricks.net."
But Chris, what did a load of pricks do for you?
They were brilliant, Crouchy. They sold my house right away. The sign had barely gone up when a well-dressed gentleman came along and offered me twice the asking price.
Chris, would you use a load of pricks again?
I'd use them every time, Crouchy.
Go to aloadofpricks.net. They will sell your house like no other. Load of pricks, load of pricks.net.